morning, and trust that God will bless our day. We're privileged to have Brother G.S. Nair with us this morning, and he'll be preaching and teaching the morning service, the evening service, maybe in the next 2 months. I don't know, can we talk him to stay in? And, no, at least today, and we're going to give him the Sunday school hour as well. And a blessing to have him. He's faithful in ministering in India. He's from India, and he was saved about 75 years ago. So he's a lot older than he looks. No, he was saved as a result of serving in the Indian Army, and he contracted tuberculosis. Went to a Baptist Mid-Missions hospital or doctor who led him to the Lord, and as they say, the rest is history. And God is blessed with a widespread ministry throughout the country of India and in all the states of India, and thousands of workers and several thousand churches have been planted as a result of his ministry in India. And of course, I know he's the first to say, to God be the glory. God has done it all. So anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have G.S. come. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for bringing our brother G.S. to be with us this morning. We pray your blessing upon him as he shares his ministry, as he shares the word of God with us. Speak to our hearts. May your name be glorified. May you be exalted. That's why we're here, because of you, because of our Lord Jesus Christ and the shed of his blood on the cross, that we might be saved, and as a result might be a witness of the gospel to others around us. We thank you now for this time. Bless as we continue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brother, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. I'm so thankful another opportunity to come back to Midland. And I tried to postpone a couple of times because one meeting there and another meeting is two different places. But anyway, I'll be here in Kansas for one more week, going near Stockton area. And I'm so thankful that been able to change the time. And thank you so much for that. As you talk about the ministry, it's all because of God and what God has done. I often tell it is not our ministry, it is his ministry. But we are the one just that God put and placed there to take care of the ministry. And we thank God for that. Without which your help and prayer, we will not be able to do what we were doing. So mission work is a joint venture of God's people working together. And God calls someone, and people pray and hold the basket, and somebody come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. So it's in a joint venture of God's people working together, somebody come to know Christ as their Savior. This Sunday morning, just Sunday school hour, like to share a few things of the ministry along with what is going on with my wife. And you know that Sarah been a great part played in the ministry. Without her, I was not able to do what I was doing. But 4 years back, Lord blessed us with her Parkinson's. And we noticed that we were in northern part of India, our second college, and she is kind of slowing down. I said, you're getting slow. What happened to you? She said, we are all getting old. I said, that's all right. No, but that's more than that. So anyway, she was not able to admit when we came home. Our sister from Florida was there. And then my daughter, I just told, watch her. And behold, everybody noticed that we sent for a medical checkup, MRI and other check. I had a good neurological friend in nearby my home. Then he came to the result saying that she got Parkinson's. So we start treating, and a couple of my friends really don't want she to take medication, but you know, that's the way things work out, and we start medications. It began to progress so much. She took a couple of falls, and that affected her hand and all. Our problem is she never shakes so much, no shaking. And her mind is very brilliant, no problem. Only her walking, she cannot take the first step. And she'll put a lot of stress to just pulling the step. And then we began to learn that. One of my grandsons, he came and talked to her. And finally, we began to learn something, hindrance she has to put in front of her, that can, she can lift the leg and walk. Then she stopped again. And so we began to put our legs in front of her so that she began to take it out. So only on the plain ground, but going up and coming down, no problem. And so pray for her. But every 3 hours, the medicine's power has gone. Then she has to sit. That drain her, all her strength, and she has to sit, take the medication, another 45 minutes to come back to her to get up. So that's around 5 times in a day she takes. So that's the maximum medication she can take it. And so appreciate your thought for prayers. But still, when she get to kitchen and she want to cook sometimes, she does that, everything. Her mind is brilliant. She remember everything and nothing that sort. And sometimes she gets so much frustrated, she want to do something, she cannot do it. And so I appreciate your thoughtful prayers. Now, this is the 4th year now, going to be 5 years. And she was with me in Florida a few times last year, and then she has to go back. She's doing some treatment, staying at my home in Trivandrum and a home in India. My son and his daughter, they both are doctors. They're looking after her along with my daughter. And a couple of ladies from the church come night to help her and pray for Sarah. She'll be there until I go back. And in the meantime, it is a good opportunity that, as you know, that we've been praying to hand over the ministry to young hands. We have leaders in every state of India. At the same time, we are looking for one leader. I was heading for a few people, but the thing is that God was actually moving. Then Timothy, after his studies, came to me and said, "Dad, I want to work in the ministry." I said, "Son, there is no obligation. Because I started the ministry, there is no obligation. You need to do that. There is no pressure on you. But if you are coming because of all that kind of influence, this is not going to work. You can ruin the ministry. But you must know that God is calling for this ministry." And we've been praying. We are all praying. Deep in my heart, I may discourage him, but I was praying, "Lord, call him." And that is a kind of double act, you know. My heart is that he may come to ministry, but he come because God called him, not because of me calling him. And anyway, that now from last 2 years after this medical education finished, he came and he just practiced in the hospital there. He finished his intern. Now he's traveling with me and I'm introducing all the ministry to him. Last year he traveled with me several months, and this year also he traveled with me several months. Only he came to just realize only 1/4 of the ministry he came by. My goal is that he might be able to meet individually people, meet with the leaders, so that he may not just overwhelm with the responsibilities, things. When I look back, when I start with the 4 men and $5 in 1976, that was nothing. But that was around Timmy's age that time. But now Timmy has got over that many thousands of people working, and ministries is too much for him. So I appreciate your thoughtful prayer for Timothy and his wife Hannah. They both are very much interested, and they are doing. And thank God that his burden may get deeper and deeper, and he may get the right kind of help from the Lord, that he and his friends, those who are co-leaders, might be able to do much more than what we have done in the past. So I appreciate the thoughtful prayers for that. Still now, there is no support for Timothy, and which I am praying. One of my goals is that after introducing all the work in India and Nepal and Myanmar, and even just some part of Bhutan and Bangladesh, I'd like to bring him, introduce my friends over here, so that he will be able to just see that maybe one or two times I can just fade away. The ministry may go if the Lord tarry. But all the things we look around, it looks like he's going to come back very soon. But that does not mean we should be idle and sitting back, but we're working more hard, because when the last stone might be able to just add it to the church of God so he can come. It's our desire he may come soon. And I appreciate your thoughtful prayers for that also. Anyway, I'll be just sharing things of the ministry. Lot of slide. I'll try to keep the time. But at the same time, that we are all need to be engaged in winning souls. As Pastor was telling that, to share something from that God's Word and preach in Sunday school and teach. But I'd like to just share a few things from God's Word. Every one of us, there is nobody is too little for sharing the gospel. Sometimes we say, I cannot do the only that. Pastors can do it because they went to the Bible college, or evangelists can do it, or deacon can do it. No, God expects everyone should share the gospel to other people. And nobody is too little to share the gospel. No one is too little. Sometimes we think, I'm not. No, it's not. He's able to help you and me if we are willing to share that goodness to other people, because that's only one way people can go to heaven. That must be saturated in your mind and my mind, that knowing that this is the only truth. People may have thousands of ideas, thousands of ways, thousands of religion in this world. That's okay, but the thing is that this is the only one person who can take you to heaven, that is Jesus Christ. Knowing that truth, we cannot keep quiet in any circumstance. And we need to just share the gospel to other people. So no one is too little. Just want to share a story from Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a very interesting story, the story of Naaman, that all you know that he came to know the living Jehovah. But how did he come to know that? Who testified to him? That's the most important. Somebody was there in his house, and she, the little girl, and that's what I'd like to just think about this morning. She was a little girl, and she was a little maid. Amazing that she was brought by this Naaman, because she was a kind of a victim. Because they defeated Israel, and they brought, but she in turn to be a great blessing to Naaman and his family. Let's go for read that passage from chapter 5, 2 Kings, verse 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. That's a saddest kind of statement. That's the very thing for every people in the world. You can be mighty people, you can be honorable people, you can be success, you can be everything. But the word of God says, but unfortunately, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. It's a kind of picture. The Naaman is a picture of the whole lost human race. You and I can be something in the world, but at the same time, we are all equally sinned against God, and we come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. So Naaman had everything of this world, but he is a leper. That just made him kind of unclean. So what happened that but the amazing thing that one of the things that I just go through this word which touched my heart is because the word of God says, with his master and honorable, because him the Lord that given deliverance unto Syria. The Lord was working in between. I often tell people that God work around us every day. He wanted to get our attention, but the problem is that we are so busy with our own things, we don't listen to that. That what happened to me. I was hospitalized with tuberculosis, 18 months. And I thank God that God blessed me with the TB. If any other disease, army has got hospital. But TB, there is no sanatorium. So God blessed me with that disease. So in search, we found there was a hospital run by Baptist Mission, northeastern part of India, having a TB sanatorium. So we sought an admission because army, you know, they don't want to immediately give. But anyway, I got admission. I went to the hospital in 1971. That was the time of India and Pakistan. There was a war because of East Pakistan, which became Bangladesh in 1971. I was in the bar at the beginning of that war. But anyway, that because of disease, I have to go to the hospital. Maybe I could have died in that that war that time. Anyway, so I was in the hospital. That's the time this tuberculosis, TB, the new medication came, streptomycin, and it came that. That's the year that came. So I took around 480 shots as I was staying 18 months in the hospital. Nothing brought any help for me. But meanwhile, the doctor is a man of God, concerned for soul, and he saw not only my physical disease, there is a spiritual need, he saw. So he began to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people around us, they may be well-to-doing, they may have everything, but still everyone is sin against God, and they need to hear the gospel. But this doctor never gave me up. 18 months, he prayed for my soul. He gave the gospel. I was I did a lot of wrong things in the hospital to stop preaching the gospel. So terrible. That's what his wife said. You were so terrible when you came to hospital. Because I tried to just to provoke people because they come with the gospel, because they're strong Hindu and many things. But this doctor knew God of this world blinded my eye. It need to be opened only through the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing from this world can open that that blindness. Then he kept giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Naaman was, God was working and helping, giving deliverance, but Naaman never knew about it. God was working. As one day, as he was coming back from his battle, and the word of God says, verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. I'm putting it as under sanctified thinking, Mickey. Maybe they were just one and they are being captive. Maybe the people were on the road watching this Naaman and this armies marching. Maybe a little girl was standing with her father and mother. Naaman's eye fell upon her, took her as a captive. She doesn't know. She's a little girl. She did not take the mother and father with her, just took the girl. And think about that girl's attitude, maybe her mind, her heart maybe. He snatched away from the comfort zone of her life, her parents, father and mother, her own country, and snatched her from every comfort which she can think about, her father and mother, her family, and her friends, and took her to the enemy's land and made her to be a slave. She was looking after Naaman's wife. So in her heart, like today's, you know, she could have bitterly hate Naaman. You know, because what he has done to her, you know. What happened over the word of God here says, out of the land of Israel, little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She became one of the slaves there, you know. And the amazing thing, other things, a little maid. I do not know her name. That's one thing that touched me when I was studying God's word. There are so many times you turn the pages of God's word. God many times used unnamed people for his great glory and for his wonderful purpose. How often we just think about our name, you know, so on. How often we think about people may just tell good about us. No, but there are so many times. I think about that young lad just gave that 5 loaves of bread and fishes to Jesus Christ. Never know his name, you know. I didn't know the name of the servant who was just walked with Jonathan, accomplished that great things. So God sometimes used that for his glory. Ultimately, all we are doing for his glory, not for the purpose of our own things, you know. And this little maid, and she came and she was just ministering and waiting upon Naaman's wife. But this little girl has got different character and attitude. Instead of she just sitting back and just having self-pity and worrying about, and just a thing is that she might be brought up in a good godly home, might have told her, all these things are happening because our foreparents left the living Jehovah. He allowed the enemies to come because we walked away from the truth and God's word. And that's the reason God just handed over us to the enemies. And he just warned us through the prophets and preaching. But we never listened to that. So that might be in her mind. She just came. And she had very compassionate heart. Because verse 3 says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet, that is Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She might have noticed Naaman's wife. She had everything, lot of slaves, lot of servants, and everything what she needs, she has there, but still there is unhappiness and there's no joy found in her. Maybe this little girl might have noticed and might have asked that, what's the problem with you? And she might have agreed, yes, I have all the things in this world, and my husband is very honored, people respect us, and we have servants, we have everything materially, but the problem is that my husband is a leper. How can I be having that joy and happiness? And no. So that touched the heart of this little girl, and she brought a remedy. She said, you know, there's a prophet in Israel. Surely he can recover from his leprosy. I strongly believe Naaman might have done a lot of things in order to just get over the leprosy. But nothing just happened to him. And that's another saddest thing there. They tried everything. So she, as soon as she told this, Naaman's wife immediately communicated to Naaman. And the next verse says that Naaman went and talked to the king. Then the king asked that, who told you this? And Naaman was not hesitant to talk to the king, saying, this is a little maid which I brought from Israel. She's the one who gave me. Sometimes who cares for the little one who's just taking care of the big family with other slaves? I think that she had a different attitude and spirit than other slaves. And that might have noticed by Naaman and his wife, though, so they were not hesitant to tell about this little girl, because they realized that her word supported by her character. Because Naaman and his wife might have noticed she's acting different than other slaves. Other slaves they are doing because they are bound to do it. But this girl is doing happily, joyfully. She, instead of she sitting back and herself and worrying about and just grumbling, rather she began to understand, God placed me over here in this situation. Let me be a help for these people. What a great attitude of Christians, you know. Sometimes if they do one time, we would like to do two times back to them, you know. That's the kind of attitude sometimes we have. But she did not have. This is one of the things which I learned, that she overcame her bitterness and problem with doing good things for them. What's a great word in New Testament, overcome evil with good. Yes, Naaman did evil to her, but I'm going to do some good for him. I had compassion for him, and I have a testimony I'm going to talk. Maybe that's the only answer to his problem. Yeah, I'm in a different circumstance today. But anyway, that circumstance is going to be a blessing for this family. Her word supported by her character. So the Naaman did not hesitate to talk to the king. This is the young girl. Master, I know this girl is different than other people. Different than other slave. Look at her, just joy and smile, even though she's waiting for my wife. She never counted for like others they are doing because of obligation or fear. But she does it willfully and wanted to joyfully. So I respect her word. She went and talked to the king. This is the girl who brought this message. And think about that. She also, her support, her character is very important. That's what the world is looking today, you know. As we preach God's word, they also look how we are living. When I got saved, I remember that my parents kicked me off of the family 16 years. I could not have proper communication with them. 8 years, I could not go to their home because I became outcast. But after 16 years, I was praying for my parents for 16 years. And we sent different people. But after 16 years, both my father and mother trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I asked my father, why did you take a long time? And he said, I was watching your life. He was watching. He was distantly watching. See, people watch us. That, you know that sometimes our siblings, our family, you know that we share the gospel, but they watch us. They immediately may not be respond. Thing is that the devil is so subtle and he's so kind of crooked and try to put something on the minds of people so that the gospel might be blocked. We need to be more cautiously. No wonder the New Testament walk circumspectly, people watching. And see, this girl, her word was supported by her character, so the Naaman did not have hesitant to talk to the king. This the little maid told me about that. And she did, she overcame evil with good. She did good for him. And further, trusted her word and went to that area. Instead of she just sitting her circumstance saying that, oh God, what happened to me? Lord, I did not do anything. He just brought me over. He look at this man. He just made me to just wait upon his wife. Look at that. Instead of just self-pity or things that she used that circumstance. God put you and me in a different circumstance with a purpose and plan that you and I might be just a blessing to others. This hospital, 18 months. I read Bible 2 times. Nothing happened. The gospel I heard. And, because I read Bible, only just read to argue with the people. The natural mind cannot understand the things of God's word. And after I got saved, it became so alive for me. There came meaning and things, you know. And so this Naaman, the following verses as you read, you can see the goods he carried with him to give as a present to the prophet indicates how much very badly he need to get out from this leprosy. Maybe around us people are, maybe they pretend to be, they are happy, they are just living with everything, but there's a deep down there's a need. Until unless people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, they don't have the real peace, real joy, and real satisfaction that comes only when they come back to the living God, Jesus Christ. And he's the only one. And he's the only one. There's none else. A couple of years back, maybe 2-3 years back, I had a bell palsy. Just a couple of weeks, you know, kind of heavy fever. Then afterwards, so everybody wanted to just push me to go to hospital. I hate to go to hospital. I had enough 18 months in the hospital before I just got saved. And prior to that, 4 months in the clinic, in Army clinic. So that was hospital. I get scary. So apart from that, 1971, only one day I was in hospital anyway. So these people said, oh, why don't you go? I went. I was just waiting for the doctor. Another young fellow, nearly 40 years old, he was with me. And he said, I am from Dubai, and I am a construction company owns there. I had heart attacks. I had open heart surgery, came over here. But I did open heart surgery in Dubai, but there's something wrong, so I'm going to come. I came here to just reopen again. So we are talking, so we talked a little bit. Then he came to know I'm a pastor and things, and he came to realize I'm from different religion because of my last name. Then he said, what is the difference between all other religion? We have Hindus, Islamic, Buddhist, Jainism, Sindhuism, Zoroastrianism, all the tribals, everything over here. What is the difference between our religion and theirs? So I was praying in my heart. I want to give just a simple word and the straight answer. Then I turned to him. He's from a nominal Christian background. Marthamites like a nominal Christian. I said, the only one different, and that is the different, and that is the great different, that is our God is a living God. Jesus is living. All other gods, you just think about all the other religion people says, none of them can say, my God is living. That's a different. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion under heaven. What the living God can bring life, those who are dead in trespass and sin. He's the only one can just forgive our sin. He's the only one can just qualify to be our Savior. Jesus Christ is the only qualified Savior to save you and me. And that's the reason we need to give the gospel. That's the reason. So Naaman went with that, all that gifts. I'm going to stop. Anyway, it comes, you know, as he went there. One more thing, so I'd like to show you that passage. And she went and he just to the king, and the king sent to the Elisha, and he came to Elisha. And what happened over there? He came with all the gifts. Okay, the word of God says, it's verse. Verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy cloth? Let him come unto me, and he shall know that then is a prophet is in Israel. So the Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Even Elisha did not even come to meet this Naaman. So he said, go to Jordan and dip 7 times. So what have the response of the Naaman was? Naaman was very wroth, verse 11 says. He was angry. Though people are just needy people, but they have a plan and they have a program. They have their own kind of way they think about. If things are not going that way, they'll get upset, angry, wroth, and they hate. So Naaman was wroth and went away. Even if you don't stay there, now he did not talk, went away and said, behold, I thought he will come, surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and struck his hand over the place and recovered the leper. Naaman, though he's a needy man, but he also got an idea how that his leprosy is going to be removed. You think about today's healing. Happened recently, no, it happened long back. He was also expecting a healing service instead of just trusting God. You know, he said, Elisha will come and he will just cast his hand upon my leper area, then he's going to heal me. Though he had a needy person, he had his own ideas. People in this world, they have 101 ideas how they can just overcome their situations and their difficulties and problems, even sins. That's reading That's the reason people doing all kind of ritualism, all kind of penance and all other kind of things they do, somehow salvation can come to them. That somehow that they can get over from their sin. But that's a great word the Lord himself said. There's only one way. He said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the word. That means no man cometh unto the Father but by me, but not any other way. No wonder the Jews got so upset with him. They were prepared all kind of ritualism and plans and things here. What the Lord himself, he said, I am the way, I am the door. And Naaman thought about, there are so many ways that he's going to help me now. Did not do that. He went wrath. Then what happened? His own servant, and his servant came near, the verse 13, and his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great things, would not thou not have done? If how much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be cleaned. Here is my point. God used three servants. His own servant, the little maid. He also used the Elisha's servant, who came and gave faithful message from Elisha, and his own servant came. See, this is a story. You maybe sometimes think we are just slave and servants. Still, God can use that. Our second college in Punjab, that is the northern part of region, I was preaching one of the gospel meeting there. We have People's Baptist Church there in Ludhiana. And somebody came and told, there's a judge in the congregation. He also came to hear the gospel. So after the gospel meeting, the judge came to the room and talking, and he wanted to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and he accepted the Lord. Then my curiosity came, I think, who invited you to this meeting? He said, oh yeah, your church member, Gobind Chand, he is the cook for him. Government allotted a cook for him. Gobind Chand is the cook. Cook is from our church. He's been saved around 3 years, and he's been just asking him whenever the special meeting comes, this judge may come for the meeting. He's a strong Hindu. Then he said, Gobind Chand, I had a lot of cooks in my all through my services, but he's a different man. And I began to notice him. So I could not turn him down. Many times I turned him down. This time, he was so pleading. And he knew that you are coming. And he pleaded so that I could not just deny. I came. A judge, a great position, but a cook became a useful person. Friends, no matter where you are, God put in that circumstance to win somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I can be a blessing. No one is too little, whether it's a little maid or a servant. And we can be a blessing to others. God bless you and thank you so much. And continue to pray. That's what we do back in home. Winning souls, discipling, establishing local churches, training others that they may also come to know Christ. Thank you very much for your faithful prayers and practical support for the ministry. Thank you.